All right, a lot's been said. Let's give you exactly what we're talking about. Channel 7 story. 2 weeks before he was suspended for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substance policy, Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams was nearly arrested, was not arrested, by Detroit police over a gun found in a vehicle. Now, as a result of questions by Channel 7, wondering, hey, what actually took place here, the department is investigating why J-Mo was released from custody after officers had planned to take him to jail. The receiver came into contact with police after midnight on October 8th when the police pulled over a vehicle being driven by J-Mo's brother near the corner of Connor and Jefferson Avenue. The vehicle was stopped for speeding, according to the police. When questioned by the officer, J-Mo's brother disclosed that there were two guns in the car, which is his obligation, and he did that properly. The first lay in the back seat, while the second, according to police, was under J-Mo's seat. Officers found the gun in the back seat was registered to the brother, who had a CPL. The gun under J-Mo's seat was properly registered to J-Mo, but he did not possess a CPL. The officer on site concluded this was a problem and told Williams, J-Mo, that he was going to be taken into custody for carrying a concealed weapon. It's clear from the body cam footage, the officer doesn't know who he is. But repeatedly, J-Mo would remind him, quote, I play for the Lions, bro. I'm Jameson Williams. Minutes later, bro, I play for the Detroit Lions. Minutes later, once more, bro, I play for the Lions. The officer told Williams his position did not influence whether or not he'd be arrested. So good for this officer. Seems like he wants to carry out the law. At one point during the stop, Williams' brother told police the gun belongs to him, but later on, J-Mo would admit that the gun is his. Quote, I got the gun for protection. Don't you guys know where I live? Detroit. Williams was handcuffed at the plate and placed in the back of the squad car. In an interview on Monday, Detroit Police Commander Michael McGinnis supported the officers on scene. I feel like there was probable cause to arrest. He was under arrest by the patrol officer, and because of that, he should have been conveyed to the Detroit Detention Center and processed. But J-Mo wasn't taken to jail. Instead, a supervisor was called to the scene. The department says that's not unusual for a high-profile stop, and the precaution was made to make sure policy is followed in cases that could create media coverage. So by J-Mo saying who he was, it did invite a more delayed process and more, you know, supervision. Within a few minutes, the sergeant arrived on the scene. Unlike the responding officers, the sergeant was a Lions fan, immediately recognized J-Mo by name. Body cam footage shows that he had cell phone wallpaper of a Lions logo. So this guy, big Lions fan. Over the next 30 minutes, the sergeant would make a series of phone calls to higher-ranking officials trying to determine if Williams needed to be arrested or if the CPL covered both. At one point, the sergeant is seen leaning into the arresting officer saying, I'm so mad at you. Commander McGinnis, who reviewed the footage, said that was in a jovial way. He wasn't like reprimanding them.
Right.
After conferring with multiple supervisors, the sergeant makes two more phone calls, and it appears J-Mo is going to be taken to jail. Be advised, he's coming in, quote, you might want to make special accommodations, the sergeant says in a phone call. He's going to be there for carrying a concealed weapon, he says in another. So even this sergeant, who is a Lions fan, goes, hey, the facts are what they are. I've tried to make a million calls. It's been a half hour. Hey, ready the facility. He's going to jail. Minutes later, things changed. The sergeant spoke to a lieutenant who said Williams should be released from custody. The lieutenant's side of the conversation cannot be heard. The sergeant says, oh, okay, beautiful. I'll let him go. You're a bleeping hero. Thank you so much. Williams would be taken out of handcuffs, gun returned, police report was not written, no warrant request was submitted. Prompted by questions from Channel 7, like, wait, this doesn't add up. Detroit police have launched an internal affairs investigation into the stop and the decision not to arrest him. Chief James White was very unhappy about the totality of the circumstances here, even go as far as to say he was pissed off, Commander McGinnis said. Last week, DPD submitted a warrant request to the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office. Williams is facing a charge of carrying a concealed weapon in a motor vehicle. For the sake of Williams, his attorney, Todd Flood, released a statement. On October 8th, my clients were pulled over for an alleged traffic violation. During the course of the stop, my clients were both cooperative and respectful with police officers. With the two pistols that were found in the vehicle, they were both properly registered, and the driver in the vehicle had the proper credentials to carry them. We have cooperated with law enforcement and will continue to do so, end quote. That's where we're at today.
Yeah.
It looks like that lieutenant pulled some strings and got J-Mo out of a sticky situation that both the officers and even Lions fan sergeant thought was a crime. Having the firearm legally but without the CPL in that case is a felony. Maybe it gets pled down to a misdemeanor. Maybe they can sort it out and try to argue that they're both being claimed by his brother. Either way, none of that happened because the police just wanted to make it go away, which is a problem. I know people are going, well, he's a celebrity. This happens. It's not supposed to work that way. The laws are supposed to be applied equally to all of us. If the police aren't going to apply the laws equally to all of us, that's a huge story that one of our local news stations should be digging into. It happens to involve the Lions. So some fans are going, you're trying to tear down J-Mo. J-Mo's actions are at the center of this. J-Mo is doing this to J-Mo, period. How it's being discussed is only because of what he did. No one is creating a story.
Right.
It already existed and is now being shared and told.
And even if he's arrested, doesn't mean he is either ultimately charged or is charged with a felony.
You're saying moving forward.
Yeah, moving forward. I mean, it could have been pled down to a misdemeanor.
Yeah, yeah.
And still could and probably likely will be. So it's, you know, when you look at all the facts that are there, did he get preferential treatment? Sure seems like
it. Sure looks like it, yeah.
And will he get that moving forward? TBD.
And I don't know. And what's the NFL's role in this moving forward, John? Like, what do you think, how they view this?
If ultimately he's not charged with anything,
goes away.
There's not much that they can do.
Yeah.
And if this had happened on NFL ground, in an NFL facility, now the NFL has jurisdiction. They really don't have jurisdiction until it would have happened or he violates the personal conduct policy.
I was going to ask you, if he does end up getting like arrested and charged and facing, would the NFL then step in as a conduct issue?
I think they will wait to see if he is ultimate. What's the sentence?
Is he guilty?
What is he guilty of? What does he plead to?
Sure.
Then the NFL will make their decision.
So the chances that he gets suspended for this incident,
slim to none.
Okay. I think the Lions, I don't think they've done anything wrong in this instance.
No.
They did not have a player who was arrested. Now, the Lions may have breathed a sigh of relief in this that they don't lose the player, right? I mean, it's not their job to police the city of Detroit. So I don't know that the Lions necessarily did something wrong here, John.
No, Lions didn't do anything wrong.
No. And they're just going to deal with the cards that are dealt to them.
Right, and now it's a matter of how do they handle Jamison Williams? What is that relationship like, and what is it like between Jamison Williams and Antoine Randall L., the wide receiver coach, between him and Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, ultimately, you know, Sheila? Like, how annoyed are they, and what does that a level of annoyance raise to? Because if he still continues to produce, and his production on the field outweighs the distractions, he'll still be a Lion.
Yeah, if you're not suspended, you can play and outperform nonsense. If you get suspended, and he's been suspended two different times, then you can't outplay the nonsense. And Dan Campbell and the Lions knew that this had happened before they addressed the media with the performance-enhancing substance. So any frustration that you had heard from them probably factored this in too. And they have also said that they will have his back, that they're going to give him every chance, that he's...
And they have.
And they have. And I think he's talented. They certainly want to give him every chance. But the way I put it is I don't know how long he'll be in Detroit unless he can shape up.
Well, and we talked about this last week when it was the PEDs. All of these moments will play a factor into how much a team is willing to pay you, if they're willing to keep you. And as we've all come to realize, there are a lot of good dudes on this team that are playing high-level football, and they're getting paid for it. At some point, you're going to have to make some tough decisions on who you're going to keep, who you're going to pay. And if you have a guy like Jamison Williams, that if this keeps happening and it's a repeated distraction, it makes their decision a little bit easier.
I was going to say, it's already a tough decision, but if you want to pay Aiden, and they will, you want to pay Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch, Sam Laporta, like you start looking around going, if I got to squeeze somebody out, maybe it's the guy who gets suspended every season. I want to stress this, still has the opportunity still in front of him to play good football, to avoid nonsense, to secure a spot here long term and be a Lion for life. But it's got to be better than this.
Yeah.
Mazi Smith has come up a lot on the ticket deck. So let's just hit this real quick. Mazi Smith
was arrested.
Similar in the sense that they both had a firearm without having an active CPL. But Mazi did not get the treatment from the officers that J-Mo did. He was arrested. In this case, J-Mo didn't even have that happen.
Right.
So that's kind of where the similarities end. Ticket texters. It would be irritating being J-Mo's teammate, working hard every day to have this negative shadow over the team. That's from Mason at work. This one says, for J-Mo to be legal, his gun needed to be all the way in the back and unloaded.
Yeah.
I don't believe we've received confirmation if it was loaded or not, but I would...
I'm not sure why you would say you need it for security
if it was unloaded. Yeah, I assume it was. This says, if the cop goes hard on the guy, he's a jerk. If the guy gives him a break, nobody hurt, he's a jerk. Can't win either way, Matt in Grand Blanc. I think you're always going to be on the right side if you're following the law. I mean, part of that comes with the territory of being a police officer. Not everybody's going to like you.
Right, but it also comes with the territory of being a professional athlete. A lot of eyeballs, a lot of responsibility. And I know we bring this up all the time. Charles Barkley said, I don't want to be a role model. Well, you know what? There are a lot of kids that look up to you. There's a lot of people that look up to you because of what you do.
Says, you guys are going to make this national news. Quit trying to torpedo J-Mo. Find something else to talk about.
Did we try and torpedo J-Mo? We're just talking about an event that happened. And I don't think anybody has said...
Cut him, trade him.
Yeah, suspend him, trade him. At least not
take
on this
him off
show.
The team. Not for us. This will make national news whether... I mean, I don't want to...
No, it's...
Whether we talk about it or not.
It's a good NFL player that has an issue with a gun.
I don't want to flatter myself. Schefter's already talked about it. Like, this is a national NFL story, whether we brought it up this morning or not. As far as torpedoing J-Mo, he's doing that better than anybody else could. 248-539-9797. We'll get your phone calls. I see full bank. Go in order next. 97.1.
I'm down 70 pounds in the last 2.5 years, and it's all because of Ideal You. They helped me on my journey of weight loss. And when I started because I wanted to change where I was going. I wanted to change my trajectory. I wanted to feel better, wanted to be healthier. I wanted to make sure that I give myself the best chance to be around for my kids. So I contacted Ideal You, and in 40 days, first 10 days, I lost 10 pounds. 40 days, I lost 50, and I'm down 70. And it's because of the program. They teach you what to eat and drink to lose weight. It's also the support. The weight loss coach that was assigned to me helped me in those first 40 days to achieve my goal. And once you achieve your goal, they want to help you keep it off. If you want to change your life as well, go to idealyou.us right now and schedule a free consultation. You could be 20, 30, or even 40 pounds lighter in just 40 days. Ideal You has helped thousands of people, and they can help you as well. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us.
We'll get to Heather's news, everything else going on today. Sharon Moore, 935. J-Mo phone calls. Chris and Ypsilanti, you're on 97.1.
Hey, Jim. Hey, John. How's it going?
Good morning. What's up?
I'm calling because... Oh, good morning. I'm an attorney, and I'm calling because I'm going to run to J-Mo's aid here. I think we should all ask ourselves, are we expecting J-Mo to be an attorney himself? I mean, let's kind of put his run-ins in the context. The gambling suspension, he places a bet at a team facility, but it turns out that team facility was a hotel.
Yeah.
In another state, right? On the performance-enhancing substances, the rumor is that his Adderall got switched to a generic brand and he didn't inform the NFL.
I can't speak
and
on that. I don't know that that's true. But,
yeah,
okay.
That's a rumor. And here, you know, he's carrying a lawfully registered firearm, but without a CPL in a car with the CPL driver. And I think you guys had a cop call in a few minutes ago who explained that this is actually pretty detailed. It's pretty fact-specific analysis here. You know, I'm an attorney. I went to school for 7 years to get my JD. And I can tell you how quickly these things can end up in the thicket. And, you know, John, you said yourself, you have a CPL. Mm-hmm. And you didn't immediately know how or why what J-Mo did was against the law. J-Mo's a 23-year-old kid. He grew up in St. Louis. He went to school in Alabama. He now lives in Michigan. All three of those states have very different gun laws. Those gun laws are very complicated. The running theme here that I see for J-Mo is that he's not making boneheaded decisions. He's getting tripped up on the details that I wouldn't expect a 23-year-old guy to understand or know. When I was 23 and I was in law school,
Chris,
I would not have caught these details.
If he's going to be a gun owner and make that decision to carry a gun, it is his responsibility while in the state of Michigan
absolutely
to know the laws.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And all it would take is an 8-hour course.
Told us.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, absolutely. I think what that officer taught us, though, is that reasonable people get caught up on this mistake all the time. Now, for JMO, like, should he have been charged? Yeah, maybe, right? I mean, the officer also could have used discretion and said, hey, this gun needs to be over here. I'll show you how to do this so you don't have a problem. The officer has discretion, but is he within his right to charge and bring the... Absolutely, right?
Right.
This will probably get negotiated down. My point here is that for the people saying, oh, you know, JMO's a distraction or JMO's a bad teammate, like, well, let's just slow down, all right?
Well, and I don't think that we have said, to be fair, now John and I are, now that doesn't mean we haven't had calls or ticket tech say it, but John and I have not said he's a bad teammate in the sense that we've watched him put in the work, doing the little things on a football field. His teammates have only said good things about him. So I guess, Chris,
reasonable people make these kinds of mistakes all the time.
But this mistake is a felony on surface. But Chris, this is a felony on surface.
Yeah, people like me have a job.
Yeah, exactly, Chris. And I would just say, you can't put yourself in positions to commit a felony. Right. I mean, that's not good. I don't know why people think the reaction has been over the top when we have not said any. Like, to me, of course, I think my reaction is appropriate. But John, I really do feel like we've tried to be fair here.
Well, and I do like the way that he stated it. Reasonable people make mistakes all the time. That's true. That's why you go through the process, and reasonable attorneys will come to the agreement. That's why you see things pled down all the time, because people are being reasonable. This isn't something that I think he deserved. Like, what is the track record for JMO in a legal sense? Is he a former felon? Not that I know of. Has he ever been arrested for anything else? Again, not that I am aware of. So if this is a first offense and, you know, it was a quote-unquote reasonable mistake by a reasonable person, you still have to pay for your crime. It just might not be raised to the level of you got to spend 2 years in prison. It might be, hey, we need a little community service. And whatever it would be, these are just examples.
The only thing, I thought he made great points, and I agree. These are technicalities. They're details. It's JMO every time, though, because this could be, we're not talking about Jahmyr Gibbs. We're not talking about Brian Branch. We're not talking about Sam Laporta. We're not talking about Jack Campbell. All similar age range, all different backgrounds. We're in one state for college, came to a different state for the NFL. Heck, Jahmyr Gibbs was in Georgia at Georgia Tech, and then he went to Alabama in college. You know, why not throw in the excuse that he was also in Ohio and as a Buckeye before he went to Alabama? I mean, to me, it's excuse making for JMO, because JMO's the one doing it every time. I'm not trying to. Look, this is a technicality. I don't believe he should be suspended by the league. I think the DPD looks worse in this than he does. But the one common theme is JMO.
Well, and just going to the whole, you know, four states, five, it doesn't matter how many states, you're in Michigan. When I was in Virginia, okay, I lived in Virginia, played in Washington, or played the games in Maryland, and also had to pass through D.C.,
I'm like, surprised they let you into the district.
And West Virginia is right there. Now, there are four different states or the District of Columbia that all have different laws in regards to how you possess or even if you can. And you're expected as a responsible gun owner to know the laws for where you are.
I don't want to squeeze too much into news. Yeah. We've been doing it a lot today. Let's get to Heather.
Yes, there are other news stories that are going on
in
the Metro Detroit area. So I'm going to fill you in on some of those. Police are actually searching for a group of men posing as salesmen going door to door at homes in Taylor after one of them actually broke into a house, assaulted someone, and then stole their belongings. Happened on Tuesday. A victim found this unknown man in their basement. The suspect claimed that he was a salesman for something called Flex Seal, was trying to offer services to seal the cracks in the concrete of the basement floor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know
Flex
the details
a great
of, who
product.
Who let him in or how he ended up in this person's basement. But either way, he was actually not a salesman for Flex Seal, just worked his way into the house. The suspect who assaulted the victim is described to be a younger man in his 20s or 30s, about 5'11", wearing a dark blue Tigers baseball hat. Also has a tattoo on the side of his neck. Other men were also posing as salesmen going door to door at neighboring homes. So, I mean, it's really scary, especially because of what happened in Rochester Hills recently, right? Like that these people are posing as salesmen or utility workers and getting into people's homes. So you just need to be very vigilant about who you answer the door for, who you're letting into your house, right? It's very scary. The Big Ten will not punish players involved in the fight that took place on field between Michigan and Michigan State football players at the end of their game last weekend. You know the story. Final seconds were ticking off the clock. Michigan tight end Colston Loveland and MSU defensive lineman Anthony Jones got into this fight, quickly escalated. Players from both sidelines were coming onto the field. Well, on Tuesday, the Big Ten said that they thoroughly reviewed video of the incident and could not find evidence to support any disciplinary action.
Yeah, when I first saw the clip on Saturday night, I thought, boy, is that Mullings? People are saying he's stomping. I could kind of see it. But then I got to be fair. The video is like, it's panning and there's a logo and it's not conclusive. So I understand why the Big Ten said, hey, I can't definitively say that he was doing something wrong. I'm not going to suspend him for it. And I understand that.
Yeah.
And if they have extra, footage, and when we had Sharon Moore on, he said they looked at it and it did not indicate that he was stomping on anybody. So I understand it.
Mm-hmm. The holiday season, it's here, right? Like I say now, it's Halloween, basically. The Halloween season is here. And after Halloween, we've got Thanksgiving, we've got Christmas, all sorts of holidays. Well, I've never done this, but I do think it could be cool. The Canadian Pacific Holiday Train is going to be passing through the Metro Detroit area once again. So that's pretty sweet. You can check it out. It runs in Canada and the U.S., it does not have any stops in Metro Detroit, but it's going to pass through the area on its way from Canada to the U.S.
What is it?
Have you ever seen? It's like a really, like, it's covered in lights. Now, it's cooler when it makes a stop.
Yeah, it looks,
because you could, but it's still kind of neat to see it as it passes. Yeah. The thing is that they're not sure if they're going to be able to have the lights on or not as it's moving through. So it's like, are you going to actually be able to see it or not? But and they're not telling you exactly when they're going to be there because there's no stop. So they haven't like detailed timing on the route. But anyway, if you do want to go see it, all they say is you have to stay off like the railroad property, which is like 50 feet from the side of the tracks. But could be cool to check out if that's something you're into. Let's see what else I got. There's a man has filed a $10 million lawsuit against state police for what he claimed was a conspiracy to plant drugs on him during a traffic stop. Traffic stop took place on April 10th. The man was pulled over in Benton Harbor. And during the stop, the man says that the trooper basically immediately started accusing him, said he smelled of something fruity, gave him 30 minutes, did a 30-minute sobriety test, even though he said he was sober, passed that. Then he was immediately taken to a medical clinic, tested negative for all alcohol, still went to jail. And then while he was in jail, he says police went even further, claiming that he was hiding a bag of drugs somewhere in his body. So he had to go through all these body scans. He says he had to publicly use the bathroom to prove that he had no drugs in his body. And then eventually, once he was released from custody, the charges were dropped. He says he discovered footage of this conspiracy for these troopers to plant drugs on him. There was also posts on social media by one of the troopers as well. So he has filed this huge lawsuit. Michigan State Police have responded saying that at no time did troopers attempt to actually plant narcotics on this man. And they said that the actual traffic stop was handled properly. They did an investigation, but they said they are still investigating some of the remarks that were found online. Crazy. There's a new lawsuit against Subway. This lawsuit is accusing the restaurant of grossly misleading customers by advertising sandwiches that can taste at least three times more meat than it actually delivers. We've heard of these lawsuits before, right? That you use these beautiful ads, right?
Right.
That show like a ton of, whether in this case, a Subway sandwich with a tons of meat and filling, right? And it looks amazing. Then you get one and it doesn't deliver.
It's underwhelmed.
It's the case for most things, right? You're going to put an amazing photo out. Every restaurant does it, and your meal never looks exactly like that photo. Anyway, there is a new class action lawsuit that's been filed seeking unspecified damages for New Yorkers who bought the sandwiches in the last 3 years. Like I said, there's been similar lawsuits, and most of them have been dismissed. So
it's Heather with the news. 97.1. Dive into the best pool in history. It's Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games and a viewing experience that's built for us. It's built for the sports fan. 6 pools, 3 different levels, always a perfect view of a massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. What more could you want? It's Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football, with the swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot. You got cozy day beds, private cabanas. You can lounge at the center of the action, but reserve your place today. Plan that trip. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today. CircaLasVegas.com. All right, right back to the phones we go. J-Mo, the big story today. We've reset it. You guys have probably read about it, heard about it. Let's start with Ryan in Clarkston. Ryan, you're on 97.1.
What's going on, guys? So my biggest issue with this whole thing is that we're going to probably get a police officer fired over this because a journalist wanted to, you know, he needed to meet some quota on a headline for the day. And if they would have arrested J-Mo, the fact of the matter is it's not even a big deal at all because it's going to be some fine that he's going to pay and it won't even make a difference because he has more money than he knows what to do with. But now that they use discretion and said, you know what, there's probably not a big crime here. It's kind of an iffy situation because does the other guy's CPL cover it? They're not causing trouble. It's kind of a tic-tac. You know what, let's go ahead and let this guy go. He seems like a nice kid. But now some journalist at Channel 7 is going to get this police officer fired because we always want to try to get everybody in trouble now. I feel like all adults are just a bunch of little tattletales. Like, my neighborhood Facebook group, it's constantly just everybody tattling on everybody about anything they possibly can, and I feel like it's a big problem. But I'm just more concerned about there's going to be a guy getting fired right before Christmas for really no reason at all.
It wouldn't be for no reason. I can meet you halfway. I do think we have more Karens collectively in society than ever before.
I also don't know that there's maybe there's a reprimand. Maybe there's, I don't know, a demotion, but I don't know that this is going to be something that somebody's fired over.
Like, if it gets big enough, someone's going to get fired over because it's a felony, right? It's the big F word felony. Yeah.
A potential felony.
The act of having a firearm in that spot without a CPL is a felony.
It's a potential felony.
I mean, was there a victim? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, like, you got to be careful with it because there wasn't a victim. Like, if someone gets pulled over for drunk driving, technically there wasn't a victim. It's a, quote, victimless crime. It's still a very serious thing.
Right.
I mean, firearms are serious business. We have laws for a reason, whether you agree with them or not.
And if J-Mo was flying around with a gun in his hand, then that would be kind of the equivalent to, like, drinking and driving, you know?
But again, I mean, I'm not trying to equate the two. My point was just on victimless crimes. I don't think that in and of itself is. And, Ryan, I think you're a reasonable person. Where I just disagree with you is, like, this guy, he's going to get a ton of flack at Channel 7. His job is to look into stuff. If the police aren't following protocols, if they're giving athletes special treatment, preferential treatment, if the law is not applied equally, that's a policing problem. This is a bigger police story than it is a J-Mo story. And that's why a local TV station should be looking into, are our officers looking the other way? Do we have any dirty cops? Like, and the police officer on the scene did this right. But how far up the chain did someone step in and try to look the other way? I think that's the very definition of what local news is supposed to look into. Now, it intersects with a sports team that's very good, so you're going to get irrational people yelling at this guy over it. But at the center of it is the actions of the officers and the actions of J-Mo. Channel 7 is just telling you the story. You don't have to like the story. Yeah. We don't like the story. But it still happened.
Yeah, it's still the story.
Yeah. David in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Hi, guys. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Great. So this, I'm just going on an assumption, and plus on what I have went through when I got my gun charged. Pretty much, if he gives him a lawyer, and he's going to end up getting a charge anyway, he's getting a warrant for arrest anyway, regardless, after him already to pick it up. But he's probably going to face at minimum of a 2-year probation, and 2-year probation as a misdemeanor. And somebody on a higher up end, whoever made that call,
David, your phone is—it's not sounding great, buddy. I could put you on hold. I think we're getting the gist of what he was saying.
Yeah,
right. This idea that it's not going to be—he was saying probation and a misdemeanor is how he thinks it'll end up.
Right.
Do we even see it progress from here? I don't really know what the next step is, John.
I don't either. I'm
yeah.
I don't. I'm no lawyer.
Sometimes it's better to admit when you're out of your depth.
Yeah, I'm way out in terms of how this proceeds from here.
Yeah. Tyler on a cell. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, so going back to the body cam, when the, I believe it was the sergeant told his traffic officer, I'm so mad at you, too. I would like to just be in the officer's head. Like, why are you mad at them? The fact that either he pulled over one of his favorite players or the fact that your department is now going to be under a ton of scrutiny for this.
Yeah.
It's really, like I said, I loved being inside his head of what he was thinking. I think I want to say it's going to be more of the police department, but given the fact his phone was background Lions and, he knew J-Mo's name right there and then, I don't know, it could go either way, but it's just a bad look for DPD overall.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, again, just from what I've read and what we've talked about, it seems like that that sergeant had the Lions case, is a Lions fan, knew J-Mo's name, but was going to go along with the fact that they needed to arrest him and take him back to the station. So I think it was one of those where maybe he didn't want to, but he realized, hey, it's my job to uphold the law, and I even though I like J-Mo, I have to do what's right. Only then, though, it seemed like he was trying to find a way out of it. Only did he get the lifeline from the lieutenant, did it go away. I don't know the context of the line, I'm mad at you guys, or so mad
right.
at you guys.
Yeah, the way it was reported was that it was in jest.
Jovial, I think, was the word, yeah. Next up, what do we got? We got Tony and Novi. You're on 97.1.
Morning, guys. I think that he's actually going to face a league suspension over this thing because there's a precedent for that. Marshawn Lynch and Frank Clark, if you do a quick Google search, they very similar situations carrying a weapon. So I hate that, but I think a lot of people aren't considering that, that's going to happen. But if he gets charged, he's going to get suspended.
The Marshawn Lynch case, I don't know the details of that one. Was he arrested at the time? And the same thing with, I know that Frank Clark was originally arrested at the time, and he also had, other weapons involved that weren't, I believe, registered to him.
Yeah. I think the Marshawn Lynch one was a similar thing. They wasn't carrying the, I don't know all the details, honestly, about all the details,
right.
But even if they retroactively arrest them, then, or charge him, I think that then he is going to face a suspension, maybe a lesser, maybe a one game. I don't know, but I don't think that he's going to come off scot-free if he ends up in charge.
Yeah. If he ends up getting charged, which I think is what we're kind of waiting to see that next step and where this all goes. Like,
it's in the hands of the DA right now.
I feel like we're learning so much more on the fly about laws and legality and lawyers and precedents. And I'm willing to admit, I didn't know the details of the Marshawn Lynch case off the top of my head. I'm willing to listen to this if there's more information that paints a different picture.
Well, yeah, but once you get into the legal process, that's where, you do need to hire a good lawyer because good lawyering could save you ultimately a suspension because if you're not charged or if there is some type of negotiation or if you are charged with something much less, like a misdemeanor versus a felony, then I think the league will view it very differently.
Rick in Berkeley, you're on 97.1.
Hey, so here's I'll do you a real quick primer. I work in the legal system. The attorneys either, if it's a charge, they're going to challenge the stop. If the stop doesn't work, there'll be a misdemeanor on this case for sure. Wayne County will do something. They have gun programs. They'll likely get a misdemeanor, probably have to do a gun safety course. And then it will probably be resolved. So, but that's not why I called. John, it's sort of a question to you. And I work in the system, and I do work with a lot of young people. And what we see is there's usually three reasons why people get in trouble. One, just because they're troublemakers, bad people. That's clearly not Jameson's thing. Two, they may be immature, and then they can grow up. And then three, sometimes people have minor but measurable cognitive impairments, which is harder to work with. So when a team makes a first-round investment in somebody, they also hope they're going to make a second investment with a contract.
Yes.
And this is kind of where the Lions are now, is are they going to win investment? One, he's not a bad guy. But two, he might be immature. Is he going to grow up? And three, if he has some kind of cognitive impairment, what can they do about it? So the question is, to the extent you've been in the league, what are the options that a team has to prevent a kid who's not a bad kid to continue making these kind of decisions or behaviors? Because
John can speak to this better than I can, but they do the rookie symposium.
There's a rookie symposium. There's different things you go through if you're a drafted player, if you're going to be a rookie.
No, I mean specifically to Jameson, because whatever they've done up to this point has not sunk in one bit.
Well, at some point, it's on him. Like, I don't think the team is. You're not blaming the team, but I don't know what the team is supposed to do. These are all different issues. What are they supposed to do? Like, crash course on life? Like,
well,
I mean,
they
they're trying.
They can offer counseling. They can offer resources. There's things that they can offer. And teams, like, for, you know, if you're going to go out and have a good time at night, right? Teams and the NFL offer numbers that you can call for a free ride home. But once you're off of the, you know, out of the facilities and you're off a property, I understand wanting to protect your investment, but you can't hire a babysitter to hold his hand everywhere he goes.
It has to come from him first and foremost, and he has to make an effort to be better focused, to not let some of these details drag him down. Still has every opportunity to make it work here.
Yeah, I don't know when he acquired his firearm. I don't know how long he's had it. It was stated, one of the facts of the case is that it's legally registered to him.
Which is good.
And he can own a gun.
Yep.
If he's had this one for 2 years, if he got it this off season, there is plenty of time for in the off season, even during the season. You have Tuesday day off. You can schedule, and a lot of them now, you can even take over Zoom, the CPL courses. You obviously, part of the 8 hours that you are required to go through is at the range. So that is in person. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it you can do even from the comfort of your home. And so it doesn't take long. It's not a huge imposition. Why not just go through, if you feel like you need this for protection? And I understand that. That's fine. I agree with it. But you got to go through the right, you got to understand the laws of the state that you live in, and you got to follow the laws.
And don't put yourself in a bad position. You have every right to own a firearm.
Hard. It's not hard to do.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. You know, it's crazy. People go, why are you spending so much time on this? Because the engagement on this topic, you guys all have something to say. So we'll knock out a few more phone calls. If you'd like, we can preview the hockey game tonight instead.
You going?
I am going. We'll talk a little more, Jamo.
So
wrap up the show.
Please.
It's 97.1.
If you're in need of a midweek boost, FanDuel, America's number one sports book, has got you covered with Hump Day Parlays reward stack. Now every Wednesday you can get a parlay profit boosts on everything from spreads to over and unders, even player props. So don't let the weekend have all the fun. Take advantage of the Hump Day Parlays reward stack. Who knows? It might just become your favorite day of the week. Look for the Hump Day Parlays reward stack in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. And if you're new to FanDuel, visit FanDuel.com/Jansen. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Max wager amount applies. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I joke. Do you want us to preview the hockey game instead? John, there is one.
Oh, we got one?
Solo ticket text. What do you guys think of the lack of shots on goal for the Red Wings early in the season?
That's disappointing.
Yeah. All right, back to J-Mo. I'll be at the game tonight. I really want to see a win. You buy season tickets. I don't want to go to a bunch of losses.
I want you to see a win.
Thank you.
I really do. I don't want it to be the first win is the one that we go to together in December.
It'd be a pretty painful start to the season.
Yes.
John, before we get these phone calls, we've talked about this a lot, but just what do you want to hammer home or just reiterate as we wrap the show today about this J-Mo thing?
It was 100% preventable. It shouldn't even be an issue. If you're going, and if your reasoning for owning a firearm is because of where you live and you're going to carry it with you, you know, in the state of Michigan, you need a CPL. Spend the 8 hours, the $100, go through the process and do it. It's that simple. And he lives in the same, I live in Wayne County. He lives in Wayne County. I know what the process is. It's not there is a time delay in how many that they have been receiving and being able to process those. So there is a wait to get your CPL longer than I think a lot of people think there should be, but that's beside the point. The point is, you know that you should have a CPL and you don't have to go through this. If he just had a CPL, maybe they get a ticket
For maybe, speeding, maybe, his brother.
Maybe,
yeah,
I mean, maybe they get off because, hey, I'm. Do you know who I am?
Maybe that's enough. Yeah. His brother has a CPL. His brother knows the law. His brother seemed to know what he was doing. Like, help your brother out. Walk him through this. Educate him a little bit so you don't end up with this lapse in liability because he's allowed to have a firearm. It's registered to him. But, John, do I believe it'd be a huge pain in the ass? You have to, in theory, lock it in the trunk every time J-Mo gets in the car and takes it somewhere.
Which defeats the whole purpose.
Which defeats the whole purpose. So then just get the CPL, and then you're protected. You want it for your protection. You're protected. You're following the law. You're not going to get yourself in trouble. You're not going to have issues with the police. Like, and everyone says he's a kid. He's not a kid. He's immature. He does need to grow up, and he's going to be given, because he's really fast and plays for the Detroit Lions, more rope than most. And in this case, he was given more rope than most, and it's being investigated. That's what I would like to hammer home, is everybody thinks we're out to get this guy. The opposite is true. He's given more chances because of who he is. He's not being torn down because of who he is. He's actually given perks. He's actually given extra opportunities.
Yeah.
Make the most of it. Don't squander it. That's all we want to see.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that really upsets me, is this is now the third off-the-field incident.
Yeah.
And it J-Mo has so much talent, so much opportunity. I just don't want him to waste it.